Hello, welcome to, what's our podcast called?
I don't remember.
It's Real Movie Duels.
Oh yeah, that one.
Yes. Welcome to Real Movie Duels.
11 years in the making.
Yes, 11 years in the making, or 3 months, whatever it was.
Whatever it was.
I'm Drew.
I'm Nick.
And we try to get together as frequently as we can. And what we do is we take two movies, and hopefully they're somewhat similar, and we have them have a battle royale.
Everybody's stealing our idea. Have you seen this?
I know. People are like posting stuff on Facebook. Hey, if you could only keep one of these four movies, which would you keep?
I know, right? Like, I thought it was like an original thing.
Yeah, like we thought of it, and everybody's stealing it.
Now everybody else done it.
Exactly. So anyway.
It must be a good idea.
You know, it must be.
They hate us because they ain't us.
That's true. So anyway, it's a cage match between two movies, and they battle out. We'll kind of explain what the movies are. We'll do kind of like a recap in case you haven't seen them. And then we'll see who wins.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
What movies are we doing this week?
We are going to do Nightmare on Elm Street, the original,
yeah,
versus the original Halloween.
Ooh, I was excited about
John Carpenter's Halloween.
I was excited about this one.
All right.
It's the real Halloween.
The real Halloween. All right. We'll start with Halloween. All right, Halloween. Nick is going to handle the recap on Halloween.
Am I now?
I thought. That's what we decided.
All right. So, John Carpenter's Halloween starts off with a little boy. He's, what, 7, 8 maybe?
Yeah, I could never quite figure the age.
Yeah.
He was pretty young. He's 8 to 10.
Okay. And it's Halloween night, and he goes upstairs. He puts his mask on. He goes upstairs, and his sister is, like, fooling around with some guy or something.
Yeah.
Or the guy just left.
Oh, the guy just left. She was fooling around with him.
Yeah.
Well, was he, like, outside at first?
Like, watching through the window
or something? Yeah, or something, yeah.
So he goes upstairs and, like, stabs her and kills her. And then the parents come home, you know.
Yeah.
Freak out or whatever. They don't really show what happens. But then it's, like, 15 years later, he's, like, in an insane asylum or whatever. And there's, like, a breakout. He gets free.
Yeah.
And so the doctor is, like, freaking out because he's a monster. He should never be let loose and all this. He's been fighting to keep him institutionalized for the last 15 years.
Correct. He said, like, when he looked at him, he saw pure evil or something.
Yeah. As a Donald Pleasance.
Yes, Donald Pleasance. Good old John Carpenter standby.
Yeah. So the rest of the movie takes place after the jailbreak from the institution or whatever. He steals a car and goes back to his hometown.
Hometown.
And it's Halloween again.
Of course it is.
So he starts stalking our protagonist.
Which is a young Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah. Really young.
Yeah, she was pretty young when she did that. She looked older, though. She has an interesting face. Like, she never really looks... She aged in a strange way.
In a strange way.
Like, she's like, she had an old face. She had a mature face when she was young, and then she aged pretty well.
And it never really changed.
Yeah, it never really changed.
Yeah.
I don't think she's had a lot of work done. I'm sure she has some.
So, the rest of the movie, he's basically stalking her, so it's showing her with her friends, and they're planning what they're doing for Halloween night. They're babysitting.
Of course.
She's babysitting a boy.
They are the worst babysitters on the planet. Well, she's sure. The good one.
Yeah.
The other ones are
horrible. The other ones are just, like, dropping their kids off to her.
Yeah, so they
going
go
to do whatever
around.
They want.
Yeah.
So he starts picking off her friends, like, killing them. And then he finally goes after her, and she's running around and hiding and trying to keep the kids safe. And there was a lot that I had forgot about that movie. I hadn't seen it in a long time. Like,
yeah.
Like, I used to watch it almost every Halloween, like for a
oh,
while.
Really?
Like wow. When I was a teenager, like that was my thing. But like,
well, when we were younger, we used to always like, we had that book that we went look at. We'd find like old movies that we'd want to check out. And I remember we eventually got to Halloween, like probably in like middle of the 80s or something.
Yeah.
And we watched it for the first time. I remember renting it. And I remember liking it, but then I never went back and watched it. I don't think I've seen the original Halloween since we saw it when we were like 12 or 15.
Really?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I may have seen it once or something since then, but not very often. I liked it, but it was just, when you see it after you've seen all these other movies, it maybe the impact is a little less, and especially if you're like a kid, you don't appreciate some of the finer points of it.
Right.
Or its historical significance either, I would say.
Right, because it was one of the very first slasher genre of films.
Correct. And it definitely was a huge success. Spawned myriad sequels. Spawned Halloween 2, which... Did it have Jamie Lee Curtis in it?
Yeah.
Which was not nearly as good. Or...
Right.
And then there was the horrible Halloween 3, which apparently was just a big marketing mess-up. It's like a completely different movie, but they just put Halloween 3 on it. It had nothing to do with
it. Because it was coming out like at Halloween time or whatever.
Did it even have Michael Myers in it?
No.
No, it was like Season of the Witch. It was about like, it was a whole different story without Michael Myers.
I never even saw that.
I've never seen either.
I heard it was actually all right.
I heard it's okay, but if you're expecting like a Halloween movie, it's like, what the hell? So, yeah.
So that's basically Halloween. I mean...
It's a fairly simple movie.
It's very simple, but... It's very well done also.
Correct.
I feel like.
Yeah, no, it's like, John Carpenter is a good director, and when he works with a small budget like that, I think he shines the most, because you see his, seems like he's able to get the most out of less. When you give him a big budget, it seems like he doesn't quite.
And it's always, you know, it's always a John Carpenter film, right? Like the mood, the music.
Yeah, well, he does a lot of his own music, and it's so unique, especially for a film.
And it works really well for, like, horror type movies, you know?
I mean, the Halloween theme is, like, a classic theme. Yeah. I mean, it's very distinctive, and it just... What I noticed about the movie when I was watching it is that theme, like, he just... freaking drills you with that theme, like, for the first 30 minutes, you're hearing it, like, almost constantly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's really using it to full effect. And it's kind of a slow burn in a way. I mean, he really lets the suspense build up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not a long movie either. I think both the movies were about only just over 90 minutes. They're fairly short.
Yeah, so why did it take you so long to watch them?
I don't know. I guess I just couldn't get my shit together.
I mean... We're trying to do these podcasts.
I know. It's all me, man.
I'm just kidding. It's totally me.
I get you. But yeah, no, I mean, I was very impressed. I mean, I think John Carpenter really, I don't know, it was his first.
Especially if you go back and watch, like, horror type movies from back in that time period. Like,
yeah.
It's very clean. Like, it's very, like, structured and, like.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of things that horror movies do now,
yeah,
he kind of set the trend for it, like, as far as, like, she looks out the window, and she thinks she sees him, and then she looks back, and he's not there, and, you know, just little things.
Yeah, I thought it had a lot of innovation, I think, at the time. I think, did Friday the 13th actually come out before, or did Halloween come out first?
Halloween came out first.
Yeah. It felt like Friday the 13th, I remember watching that, like, once when I was a kid. I remember that movie just being very poorly made, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I know it started a whole... thing, and it was like the slasher genre and people really liked it, but as far as the technical craft to it, I don't think it even comes close to Halloween, which is why I didn't want to compare that one to Halloween, because I felt like it would be a obvious slam dunk for Halloween, even though Jason is just as iconic as, you know, Michael Myers. The film itself, none of the Friday the 13th movies have been well made.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the only Halloween movie that was well made was the first one, probably, because that's the only one John Carpenter did. I haven't seen any of the newer ones, though. They might have been all right.
I didn't see the newest one.
Oh, yeah. Did you see the Rob Zombie one?
Yeah, I saw both of them.
Okay.
I mean...
It's Halloween.
Yeah, they're all right. But I mean, He kind of Rob Zombies it up, you know?
Ah, I hear you.
It's all gory, and... That's one thing about Halloween, too. It's like... It doesn't really show you a lot of the... I mean, it shows a
little
bit.
It got a little graphic, but it wasn't, like, over the top.
Right. It's not like...
I think this was also
trying to shock you with gore, like a lot of movies nowadays. It's like, how bloody can we make it?
Correct. And it was probably pretty violent for the time, and it's pretty brutal when he kills a few of the people. Like the one guy, he like sticks him with a knife to the wall, and he's like, they show his feet dangling off the ground. He's like pinned to the wall with a knife.
And he's like turning his head, looking at him.
Correct. And also the scene where he was like the ghost, where he puts on the sheet. And he pretended like he was her boyfriend, and he's just standing there in the doorway. And that scene is, like, so long, but it's, like, super tense, because the girl, like, isn't getting it at all. She's like, what? You know, she's talking to him like it's her boyfriend, and he's just standing there staring at her. And it's like,
The scene that I didn't even remember, and I thought was pretty intense, is when he chokes that girl in the car. Like,
oh yeah,
I forgot all about that scene. Yeah. And, like, it's pretty, like...
It's very...
It's pretty intense.
Yeah, no, very, very intense. And, I think Michael Myers was one of the first slasher movies that had like a guy who was sort of superhuman almost, you know, because he's human, he's not superhuman, but I mean he does some superhuman thing. Like, I mean, how is, I mean, that guy he hung to the wall and stuck to the wall with the knife. I mean, that guy was like a jock of some kind. It's not like he was a weak person.
Right.
You know, and it's not like he even had that big of a jump on him.
And he got shot. And
yeah, and he gets shot a couple times, goes out the window, walks away. I mean, so, I mean, he's got that sort of... They don't really say he's supernatural, but the things he does are kind of hard to explain with normal science. Or he's just so insane he doesn't feel pain.
And I don't really... I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen this movie, but I don't remember him getting his mask knocked off and seeing his face. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't remember that.
Yeah, so... Yeah, the last scene where Jamie Lee Curtis is, like, in the house, you know, fighting him, it's that classic, like... Don't run upstairs, you know.
Why are you hiding in the closet?
Up on a second floor.
Just leave.
Exactly. But yeah, I know it had a lot of... It was pretty innovative. So, cool. Well, that is Halloween.
Halloween. I spent 8 years trying to reach him, and then another 7 trying to keep him locked up because I realized that what was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
All right, so I'm in charge of Nightmare on Elm Street synopsis.
So you.
This movie's a little more complicated than Halloween.
It is.
All right, so we start with these two girls, and they both have boyfriends, and they're good friends. And it starts with the one girl. She has this nightmare of this guy stalking her, who wears like a red striped, you know, sweater, and he's got like a metal glove for a hand, and he's chasing her around. I think it's in that first scene, he's, like, chasing her, and he, like, swipes at her, and then she wakes up in her, like, is the first scene when her, like, blouse is cut?
I think so.
She knows her blouse is cut, which is weird. I mean, her mom comes in because she hears her screaming, and she's like, what happened to your, you need to cut your nails or something if you're scraping up your blouse when you're, you know, having a nightmare or whatever, or something like that. But anyway, it's kind of weird. So she goes to school the next day, meets her friend. She says, yeah, I had a really bad nightmare. And the lady's like, yeah, I had a nightmare too, you know. And then the boy, one of the boyfriends, is like, yeah, I had a nightmare too or whatever. Like, they're all having a nightmare the same night. Which, have you ever had a nightmare?
Yes.
I don't know that I've ever actually had a nightmare.
Really?
Like, in my whole life. I mean, maybe I had a dream that was, like, somewhat disturbing. I woke up. I don't know if I'd call it, like, a nightmare. I don't know. Anyway.
I mean, I haven't woke up and been like, oh, my God.
Like you were sweating.
Feel like I'm going to die or anything. But I've had, like, some pretty, like, weird
intense, dreams. Intense, weird dreams. Yeah, I've had weird dreams, but I don't know that I've had, like, a real nightmare. Anyway, totally tangent. Sorry. But anyway, so they go to school, and they all find out that they all had a nightmare. But, oh, well, whatever. Well, at some point, she starts describing what happened in the dream. And the two other kids dreamt about the same guy. The guy doesn't – I don't know if Johnny Depp, who plays the boyfriend – I don't know if he actually says it's the same guy, but the girl, Nancy, she says, yeah, I dreamt about...
See, I don't think Johnny Depp ever acknowledges that he had a nightmare. It was the other guy,
Oh, yeah, the other guy did, but I thought Johnny Depp said something like, I had a bad dream too or something. Maybe he didn't. But anyway, these kids are all having the bad dream about the same guy or whatever. Well, then that night, the main girl, or the girl who had who you saw in the beginning with the
Nancy.
Nightmare... Is it Nancy the blonde or is Nancy the brown-haired?
Nancy's the brown-haired.
Yeah, I'm talking about the other girl. I don't remember her name. But anyway, her mom's like out of town, so she asks Nancy and her boyfriend to come keep her company. And her boyfriend shows up, and he's like a total delinquent loser dude. And she's like telling Nancy not to leave her alone with this guy. But then at some point they go up to her bedroom and get it on or whatever. You know, it's like, well, it's so weird. I don't know. It's a weird relationship.
Teenage girls.
Who can figure them out? But anyway, so Nancy and Johnny Depp are hanging out at downstairs while they're upstairs getting it on or whatever, you know.
Never have sex in a horror movie.
That's right. That's always a bad, especially if you're a teenager. And so anyway, so she falls asleep and they're both in bed with she's with her boyfriend. Well, she starts having a nightmare again. Just Freddy Krueger's chasing her, and Freddy Krueger's really got a corner. He does this weird thing where his like arm gets longer and stuff, and he's really torturing her. He's like in the dream, he's really, like, playing with her.
Yeah, like a psychological.
Like a psychological, messing with her head and chasing her and really trying to scare her. Anyway, so he basically kills her in the dream, and while he's attacking her in the dream, the boyfriend is in the room, sees her all writhing on the bed. Well, he sees, like, her stomach get, like, cut open by, like, four blades of cut or whatever, and blood just starts spewing everywhere. Nightmare on Elm Street is extremely gory and bloody. And anyway, so she's, like, writhing around. Then I think she even goes up on the wall at one point, you know, like, she's struggling, and the guy is, like, freaking out because she's, like, bleeding everywhere, and he's not doing it. And earlier in this in the thing, he pulled a switchblade on the other boy, the other Nancy's boyfriend, Johnny Depp.
Right.
And so everybody knows he has, like, a blade. So he gets scared out of his mind because Nancy's full of blood and dying. So he jumps out the window and escapes. And Johnny Depp and Nancy find their friend bloody and dead in the room. And they call the cops, obviously. And everybody figures this guy did it or whatever, you know. But it's actually Freddy Krueger. This is taking a long synopsis. Anyway, sorry if I'm getting too detailed or whatever. But anyway, so they all figure out that Freddy Krueger is stalking them in their dreams. And so they're all freaking out. And Nancy has some more dreams where she escapes. And Freddy kills... They catch the boyfriend that they think did it, put him in jail. Well, Freddy kills him in prison.
Right.
Right, in jail. Not prison. Jail.
Makes it look like he hung himself or
correct.
Something.
Correct, yeah, yeah. And so so the cops have no clue. And Nancy and Johnny Depp are like... trying to not to fall asleep because this guy stalking him. So they're like taking like caffeine and no-dos and just losing their crap. And it's a really freaky scene where Nancy is in school and she falls asleep and then she sees her friend's dead body like dragging down the hallway and yeah. She's like following it.
The kid on a tricycle. And...
Yeah, it's some really... Oh, and there's a cool like song, you know, 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you, like a little nursery rhyme. Yeah.
Well, it also has cool music too.
Yes, it does have good music. And so Johnny Depp and Nancy are trying to fight this thing. Obviously, Nancy's like the go-getter. She's like, somehow she gets the idea that if she grabs onto him in the dream and then Johnny Depp wakes her up, that she can bring him into this world and she can kill him.
She got that idea because in one of the earlier ones, they were struggling or whatever and she had a hold of his hat.
Oh, that's right. She brought
his
hat.
And when she woke up... She had the hat in her hands still.
Right. And so she figures she can bring him here. So she can't kill him in the dream. Her plan is to bring him into this world and kill him here. Well, her dumbass boyfriend, Johnny Depp, who's supposed to be watching over her and waking her up in like 10 minutes. Like, how hard is that? Stay awake for 10 minutes and wake her up. Like, screws it up. And he like falls asleep. And so he ends up getting the axe and he dies. And that's one of the bloodiest scenes in any movie. I mean, he basically gets sucked into the bed. And then the bed just, like, spews like a fountain of blood. It's like shining elevator-type blood just flying to the ceiling. There's just blood flying everywhere. And they talked about, I think I saw something where they were talking about how they did that scene. Like, they somehow built the room and, like, tilted it or something or turned it upside down so that the blood would, like, flow or whatever. But, yeah, it was pretty crazy. But, anyway, pretty cool special effects for the time for a horror movie. But, anyway, so Nancy finally convinces her dumbass dad, who's a police chief, that... This guy, turns out that the parents know who Freddy Krueger is because the hat that she took has his like name in it or whatever. Well, the parents supposedly all got together like 30 years ago or 20 years ago and burned this guy alive because he was like a child killer or whatever, yeah. You know, and he got off on a technicality. So the parents all found him and burned him alive. And so he's back getting revenge on their kids.
So that's basically why he's all burned up and stuff.
Correct. That's why he's all burned. And so anyway... It gets really wonky at the end because she does finally pull him into this world.
Well, she sets up all those booby traps and stuff in her house first because she knows she's going to try and grab a hold of him and correct. She has an alarm set and all this stuff.
Yeah, so she finally gets him into this world. She's got booby traps. She's beating him up pretty good. Sets him on fire, hits him with like a mallet that doesn't really seem like it would do that much damage, but whatever. It's like a swinging hammer or something. Like, what the hell? What is this? Freaking Roadrunner or something? But anyway, so she sets some traps and she sets him on fire and they corner him in like a bedroom and kill him, but then he just disappears.
Yeah.
So she assumes she killed him or whatever, you know.
Well, she says, what does she say? She says something about she knows him now and he doesn't have any power over her.
Correct, something like that.
And then like he kind of like vanishes.
Vanishes, yeah. So, and her dad sees that part and so he's kind of a believer now, I guess you could say, that she's not totally crazy because... Through most of the movie, she's sleep-deprived, and everybody thinks she's just losing her crap because her friend died. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And so nobody's believing her. It's that typical kind of parents are stupid and won't
listen
to their
kids. Like, they put bars on all the windows
so
she can't leave.
Yeah, like, correct, yeah.
And they try and drug her so she sleeps. And...
Yeah, exactly, just working against her. So, but, I thought this movie was took the slasher genre and did some really innovative, creative things with it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it, okay, you got a slasher, but hey, he's in dreams. And the whole, when I was a kid, the whole idea of like some guy killing you when you're asleep, I mean, that freaks you out. Right. I mean, I don't have any control of what's happening when I'm asleep.
This movie scared the crap out of me right? when I was a kid.
It's so funny. I don't, like, I used to, like, sit at the kitchen table, like, doing homework, like, if I had a report to do or something, you know? I would sit at the table. And our TV was, like, just connected, like, in the other room, but it was, there was no wall. And so I would do my homework. I'd be listening to the movie, like, in the background as I'm, like, doing my homework, you know? And this movie was on in the background, so I was just hearing it, and it was freaking me out. Like, I wasn't even watching it, you know? I didn't go back and watch it till, like, but later.
How genius of an idea is it to, like, make a horror movie that makes you scared to go to sleep?
Right?
Because when do you think about horror movies? When you're trying, to go to sleep.
And like, you don't want to go to sleep. And you're like, I just want to stop scares. I just want to get to sleep. It's like, you don't want to get to sleep. You know what I mean? Because getting to sleep is worse, you know? I mean, I remember it really scaring me. Like, the whole concept was just like, and when you're a kid, you know it's not real, but there's a little part of you that's like, but what if it is real? You know what I mean? There's like, you have that imagination or that, you know, blind sort of belief in things. Sure. I mean, it's like,
oh yeah, this movie screwed me up when I was a kid for a while.
It was pretty scary. So yeah, it's a genius idea. And I thought the whole idea of Freddy was pretty inventive too. You know, how he's in the dreams, but he comes in this world. There's just a lot of very cool things. Oh, the other thing I thought was innovative, how, which I don't know if another movie ever did this or even had a purpose, but there's so many times in the movie where the kids would fall asleep and then they would fake wake up. Right. And you'd think they were awake, and then something weird would happen. You realize, oh, no, we're still dreaming. You know, that's the other thing that scared you. It's like, you think you're awake, but you're still dreaming. Like, Nancy would wake up, and then she'd see weird stuff and be, oh, wait, I just thought that I woke up. I'm still in my dream. Like, right. I don't know when I really woke up. And then the very end of the movie, I thought almost went too far with that idea. Because then all sorts of weird stuff happened, like, right at the end. And you're like, because her friend's back. Well, she falls asleep, and then she wakes up, and then her friend's back alive, and you're like, well, this is weird. And then Freddy comes and, like, sucks her mom, like, through the, you know, front door window, and all the thing goes weird, and he's, like, driving the car, and it's like, what the?
But if you remember any, like, Wes Craven movies from the 80s...
They all end with some
weird... They all end like that. I mean, always has some ending where it's like, what is going on?
Yeah, I just thought, the only thing that threw me off was, like, everything was kind of, like, making sense. Like, as far as he set up this mythology and he was following it. But I thought at the end, he just threw it all out the window and just said, I'm going to just make it really weird at the end and not really paying attention to how it's going on.
I think he just didn't care.
He just didn't care. Yeah, exactly.
That's, like, his thing, so...
Yeah,
like,
I guess that's his thing. But, yeah, it's just... So, I mean, part of me is like, well, I want my ending to make sense. I want the rules in the universe to like be logical. I mean, even if they're
a Wes Craven fan, then
even if they're fantasy, I want them to like follow the rules they set up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I thought the ending just kind of said, I'm throwing everything out the window, but man, isn't this cool and crazy? You don't know what the hell's going on, and then then credits.
I'm gonna shit on your idea of what should credits. Be happening, and then here you
I mean,
go.
I guess you could argue Halloween did something similar. I mean, how did Michael Myers take like 5 slugs and then get up and walk away? I mean, you know, but whatever.
Whatever.
And fall out a window. And he's gone. But, I mean, that's kind of the genre. But no, I thought Nightmare on Elm Street did some pretty cool stuff.
I just asked you to do one thing. Just stay awake and watch me. Just wake me up if it looked like I was having a bad dream. And what did you do? You shit. You fell asleep.
Down to it. All right, we gotta figure out. Okay, let's take each category and we'll kind of rank each movie and then we'll do an overall. All right, so acting.
100% Halloween.
Yes. Because Jamie Lee Curtis is a good actress. Donald Pleasance is a pretty good actor if he's in his genre.
Listen, I watched Nightmare on Elm Street before I watched Halloween. I could not believe how bad the acting was.
Nancy, who's the main character, is not a good actress.
A terrible actress.
Yeah.
Her mom is even worse in that movie.
And Johnny Depp, who's, some could say he's a pretty good actor. I don't know how good he was back then.
He was not great.
I mean, this was like his debut movie, but yeah, he obviously, his craft had a ways to go.
But the scenes where Nancy is talking to her mom were almost unbearable to watch.
I remember you mentioning that.
Like, I
think it was that bad, but it was not good.
I could not believe how bad the acting was.
Yes.
I mean, you're in Hollywood, you're making like a major motion picture, and your lead character is not a good actress. It's a problem.
That is a problem.
It's a problem.
That is.
Not that Halloween had stellar acting throughout the whole movie, but correct. But it was 100% better.
Correct. All right, what about a script?
So, I think both the scripts were good. As far as, like, ingenuity and, like, story, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, I would agree. I think with the innovation and just interesting things they did. I mean, Halloween's a really good script. It's tight and it's well done, but it's
pretty plain.
It's pretty straightforward. There's not a lot of twists and turns. I thought Nightmare on Elm Street was a little more creative, inventive, or whatever. Yeah. So I'd give it.
I'd agree with that.
To Nightmare on Elm Street. All right. So how about music?
Music. Sound. They're both, you know.
They're both good.
Stellar, but you got to give it to Halloween.
I would say that too, just because it's so classic and iconic.
And like the build-up, like you said, like when stuff's going on and it's just dun, dun, dun. Yeah. I mean, you know, just like little things that he puts in there.
Well, I just remember in the beginning, like he uses that theme and like it's like the theme is used so much. I didn't notice it as much in the second half of the movie. In the beginning, it was so good at setting the mood. And like when he's like tailing her in the car and just following her, you know, and it's like, it just, I don't know, it was just really well done the way he used the music and just to set the mood and to set the tone.
I agree.
So it was much more, I mean, it was more prominent, but I think that's part of the reason is because it was so unique. I mean, John Carpenter's music is unique for movies.
And it's not like in your face, too. It's kind of an undertone that's going along with the movie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. He uses it in a very way to kind of pull everything together. So
right.
I'd say that's definitely Halloween. I know they're a few years removed as far as like special effects, technology, that kind of stuff.
There's a couple things in Nightmare on Elm Street that I thought didn't hold up real well. A little hokey.
Yeah.
And being a more plain movie, mm-hmm. I felt like Halloween didn't have to really... I mean, it didn't have a lot of special effects, right?
Yeah,
it didn't. It was really more like mood setting and more...
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of a wash for me.
Yeah, I would say you're probably right. What about directing?
Overall, I love both of these guys. You know I do.
Yeah.
I'd have to give it to Halloween. Just the pacing and the...
I think so, too. I really like Nightmare on Elm Street, but I think it was almost more innovative in its writing than its directing. Although Wes Craven's a great director, too, and he did some cool stuff with Nightmare on Elm Street. But I feel like John Carpenter did more with less. How about that?
I agree with that. And some of, like I said, just some of the camera angles and some of the way he shoots stuff. And, like, it really puts you, like, you know, in it. Like, it's, you know, and it... The way he moves the picture along is just real.
Yeah.
It's real clean, real
correct,
concise.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of a different category, but it kind of goes along with that. The cinematography, I thought, in Halloween was the same. It's part goes with the directing.
It
just seemed much more cohesive, you know. And it's a lot darker movie because it all takes place at night, whereas Nightmare on Elm Street has, like, day scenes and night scenes and stuff. And it's just, it doesn't all happen in one night.
Don't get me wrong. Wes Craven did a good job.
Oh, yeah, no, excellent directing. They're both really good, but I would give the slight edge probably to Halloween.
Yeah.
Man, after doing all that, I'm not... What else?
Oh, so... Okay.
What other category?
My friend Jason Williamson listened to our last... So, shout out to you, Jason, if you're... And he had an idea that if we're doing, like last time we did RoboCop versus Terminator, we should say who we think would win in that fight.
Oh, that's a good idea, too.
Right?
Right. We'll do that.
So, Michael Myers versus...
Freddy Krueger.
Who wins?
I would say probably Freddy Krueger.
I would say if it happened in the real world...
Well, yeah, it'd be Michael Myers.
Michael Myers. But, I mean, why would Freddy even do that? He could just go into his dreams and...
Yeah, I guess... I mean, it seemed like even in the real world, Freddy was pulling some weird shenanigans. You know what I mean? Like when he disappeared and... I don't know. But yeah, he wasn't very tough in the real world.
He's more of like a psychological... Like,
yeah, he is.
Like you're he not messes gonna, with
yeah.
people and...
So I guess it'd have to be a draw because in the dream world, Freddy would win. But in the real world, I think Michael Myers would... Just grab him and break him in half.
Right. Plus, I mean, Nancy was wrestling with Freddy.
That's true. Like, he's not that big of a physical threat in the real world.
Michael Myers, like, lifted that jock up and stabbed him like it was nothing.
Exactly.
So should we go back and say who should have won RoboCop versus Terminator?
We can do that.
What do you think?
Oh.
If they fought each other. If they're in the same world,
that's
pitted against each other.
They're both cyborgs.
That's true.
I think Terminator would win.
Yeah. It's tougher. Can take a lot more, I think.
Yeah, but that exoskeleton below, and he didn't seem like he really bled as much. I mean, there were scenes when RoboCop, it seemed like his like metal casing just peeled apart like, you know, tinfoil or something.
It took a lot to kill that Terminator too, let's be real. I mean, they tried to blow it up, they tried to do all kinds of stuff.
I think RoboCop would probably be a little smarter because he has a human brain, so he could probably be more creative in the fight. Like, if it came down to like smarts, I think he would win. True. But yeah, I think, because Terminator wasn't too bright, he just kept coming, right? It's not like he was real strategic or tactical.
But you have to have a pretty good plan to kill him.
That's true. But I mean, Sarah Connor killed him.
Well, Sarah Connor is a badass.
That's true. All right, yeah, probably.
And she had Reese's help the whole time.
Yeah. If it was the Terminator from Terminator 2, definitely, you know, as far as Arnold Schwarzenegger from Terminator 2, because he had kind of gotten smarter.
We're not talking about that.
I know. All right, but it was
only the things at hand, sir.
It was still a T. What is it? Not a T-1000, is it?
What about Alien versus Predator?
We're going way far back, huh? Well, there's been a movie.
Yeah.
Is it a queen?
No, I'm talking original Alien versus original Predator.
But not a queen?
No. I'd say the Predator.
Probably a Predator. He is a hunter.
I mean, that thing was tough, man.
Yeah, it was pretty tough. I think he could take out... If it was a queen, I might change my mind. But if it's just a regular run-of-the-mill xenomorph or whatever it is, then definitely the Predator.
So I thought that was a good idea. That
is a good idea.
I mean,
if it applies.
Right.
Like, I want to do Secret Window against... against Identity.
Who would win that fight?
I'm not sure who's fighting. Johnny Depp's crazy person versus John Cusack?
I'm just kidding.
Or the fat guy.
No, we won't do that.
I bet Johnny Depp could kill the fat guy. Who you thought was Vincent D'Onofrio or whatever, but wasn't.
Anyways.
All right. Anyway.
We digress.
We digress.
So, overall winner for this week.
All right. Hold on. Let me...
Oh, okay. Shocked by it.
All right, the winner. All right, do you want to go first? Who usually goes first? Let me make sure I have a decision before you tell me.
Okay.
All right, let me think. Oh, God, it's so hard. All right, I have one.
Okay. You want to go first or you want me to go?
You can go first.
Halloween for me.
Okay.
Slight edge.
Nightmare on Elm Street for me.
I feel like Nightmare has a better story. I just can't get over the acting, dude. Like, bad acting kills a movie for me.
Really?
I mean, I still love...
For a horror movie?
I still love Nightmare on Elm Street. I do.
Yeah.
But holy hell.
The acting really pulled you out, huh?
Holy hell, it was bad.
It didn't bother me as much for whatever reason. I guess I was just so into, like, the story and the innovations they did. You know, it was hard. Like, even... Like I said, I was still trying to decide. But yeah, it's Nightmare on Elm Street for me just because I feel like it was a more creative, innovative movie. Even though it did... even though it stole some stuff from Halloween, I thought it took the slasher genre, kind of turned on its head, innovated, and I felt like it created a better...
For sure, I think it's a more scary movie.
Oh, yeah. But I just think it created... I mean, the sequels to Nightmare on Elm Street were way more interesting than the sequels to Halloween. And I think the reason is because Nightmare on Elm Street had a better core concept. You know what I mean? There was more meat there. And I think it just created a better mythology thing, and I think it's more of a classic for that reason. And also, I think I saw Nightmare on Elm Street first, probably, before I saw Halloween, would be my guess. But I was super impressed by Halloween. Like, I thought, man, this movie is really well done. It's really well directed. The cinematography is great. The acting's good.
Especially thinking that it's from, like, 1978.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a movie that's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
it doesn't. Like, it holds up really well.
Very well.
Yeah, and I think it did a lot of innovative stuff as well, even though Nightmare on Elm Street did innovative stuff. But there's just something about, I think... The reason Nightmare on Elm Street wins for me is because it was innovative, it was creative, but I think Freddy Krueger is a cooler villain for me. Like, he's much more interesting. He has a few more dimensions than Michael Myers. And I just...
I think that's one of the interesting things about Michael Myers, though, is you don't really know anything about him, what's driving him, and, like, that's almost as scary. It's just, like, this dude that's stalking these teenage girls and killing
them. Yeah, he has, like, no motivation, right? You have no idea why he's doing what he's doing.
And that's almost as scary as...
No,
like,
I agree.
You know.
Yeah, no, I hear you. So, and, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, it was just a little crazier, wackier, you know. Probably more comic booky than Halloween, you
sure.
know. And, you know, I'm a comic book guy, so maybe that's what it is.
Well, the first one, I felt like Freddy was a lot more serious and scary, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Later on in the sequels and
it
stuff.
It gets a little campy.
It gets campy.
Yeah, it gets super campy.
He's got his, like, little
one-liner. Oh, my God, yeah, it's pretty bad.
But, Like, the first one, like, he was legit, like...
Yeah, he was
kind of scary.
He's pretty scary. And like I said, he messes with them psychologically. Well, Michael Myers does some, too. Not as much, though. He just stalks you.
He just straight goes for the kill.
In terror. And you can't reason with him at all or talk to him or whatever. So... But yeah, no, I think it's hard because those both are just really good.
Yeah, I love
them. Is this our first split decision? No, we split on RoboCop and Terminator.
Yeah.
We agreed on Identity and Secret Window, right?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
What'd you pick? I picked Identity.
I think I picked Identity as well. So, and then I, because I liked the second twist. I was super excited about that second twist in Identity.
Yeah. Because you'd forgot about it.
Yeah, I had forgotten about it.
How does that even happen?
That's like I saw it like once, like yeah, 10 years ago. That's like
the whole thing of the movie.
I know. I just didn't remember exactly what the twist was. I knew there was a twist.
So how would you rank these movies?
As far as we got to do our ratings. So both of these are like matinee, see in the theater for me.
Both of these are like full-priced evening movies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Full price. 3D, all of it. You know, I think these are two classics.
Yeah.
I mean, especially since I'm not a huge horror fan, I only want to see, like, the best horror movies because, like, the horror genres in general isn't, like, my favorite. So...
And you already know I'm a horror...
You're a horror junkie, but I mean, there's some genres I'll watch even if the movie's bad. Like, if it's science fiction, I'll watch it even if it's bad just because I like that genre. Horror's not that way. I only want to see, like, the best horror movies. And these are two, in my opinion, of the best of that... of the horror movie genre. Of that era. Right. I mean, you could go, like, back to, like, Hitchcock and stuff, you know, but that's a whole different, you know...
Ooh.
You know, era.
I'm down
to
watch some Hitchcock.
I don't think you can compare the Hitchcock to, like, you know, the 80s and late 70s horror movies.
Yeah, I don't even know what you'd compare Hitchcock to, because there's nothing like him back then.
Yeah, there really wasn't. So, anyway, so there you go.
So what other...
Yeah, so what have we been watching lately? We both saw Captain Marvel.
We did.
I think we pretty much agree that it was good, but not great, kind of middle to lower end of the Marvel movies. Not the worst, but not the best. I ranked it like, I think there's like 20. I ranked it like in the 13 range, you know? I think I liked it better than the first Ant-Man.
Okay.
Which, but I think I even might like it better than Doctor Strange. Which you probably like Doctor Strange more. But I mean, like it's kind of in that era where it's kind of like lower middle. How about that?
Did you watch Doctor Strange 3D though?
No, I didn't watch it in the theater. I just saw it at home. So, I mean, that's part of the problem with that one. It just...
Visually, like, that was the most impressive movie I've ever seen.
Well, to be honest, anything I see at home as opposed to the theater usually is not as good. Like, because Doctor Strange, I didn't see in the theater.
Like, I've seen a lot of, like, 3D IMAX movies.
Yeah.
And Doctor Strange was by far the most visually like impressive.
I think the visuals of that was much better in like 3D or IMAX. Yeah. And so that probably bumped it up for you.
Anyways, Captain Marvel. It was a good movie.
Yeah.
It was a little slow at times. Yeah. You know, it's an origin story. They gotta let us know where she came from, what her deal kind of is.
I thought they handled it well. It was a little slow with the aliens. Once she got to Earth, I was all in though. I really enjoyed the Samuel Jackson, her talking, especially when they first meet and he's like kind of giving her crap like, oh yeah, right, you know. I thought that was funny. I enjoyed it.
It's well made. I mean, it's a Marvel movie. They're not gonna like make total crap movie.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
they're not DC
except for Thor 2, but
yeah, Thor 2 is pretty bad. Well, it's funny, you know, a while back I ranked all the Marvel movies on my Facebook page and everybody else kind of answered with their rankings, you know.
Yeah.
One thing I've noticed when people rank on Facebook the Marvel movies, Thor 2 is almost always near the bottom. And Guardians of the Galaxy is always pretty close to the top.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the two, and Iron Man, obviously. But those are kind of the two constants. Like, the original Guardians of the Galaxy is pretty close to the top, and Thor 2 is usually pretty close to the bottom, if not the bottom.
If not the bottom.
And, I mean, I remember...
And Hulk, because let's be real.
Yeah, Hulk's pretty bad, but...
When are they going to make a good Hulk movie, by the way?
I don't think they're going to. Well, one, I think Universal still has some of the rights, and so... If they make a Hulk movie, they have to, like, share it with Universal or something. Mm. And I think they've realized that Hulk works much better in a group. Like...
When he doesn't, carry the show.
When he doesn't have to carry... Because...
He can just come in and, like...
Yeah, he's more fun as, like, a supporting character than all by himself.
Yeah, I can see that.
Could be.
But there's some cool Hulk stories out there that they could use.
There are. Like, I can see, like, World War Hulk was a big one that they could do. Or Planet Hulk. There's cool stuff they could do with Hulk, but... I mean, Thor Ragnarok was almost a Hulk Thor buddy movie, you know. I mean, it was almost a solo movie, just had Thor in it.
Buddy movie.
I mean, it really was. So, but yeah.
Ragnarok rules, by the way. I watched it again.
It's such a good movie, right?
I was like, man, that movie. movie's good.
It's just fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a lot going for it.
Definitely the best Thor movie that I've ever
made. Oh, easily.
Like, by far.
By far, yeah. Because it has Hulk. Hulk makes everything better. But by himself, he's just not that great. All right, what else have you been watching?
What else have you seen lately? I've seen a bunch of stuff. I got the AMC pass.
I saw Green Book. Did you see that?
I did see Green Book.
Oh, wow, we both saw Green Book. Yeah. What did you think of Green Book?
I liked it a lot.
Actually. I really liked it, too. It was really well done.
I didn't even know that it won, like, Best Picture and everything.
Oh, yeah, no, we saw it won Best Picture, and then we went to go see it.
Well, I
went to see it anyway,
because it was nominated. I had seen the previews, and I was like, oh, that'd be a really good movie. And then, I think I was either, I just watched it, or I was going to see it. One of my buddies was like, well, yeah, it won Best Picture, and I was like, oh, okay.
But no, I really liked Green Book. I thought it was, well done. It made me see some things I didn't really realize. I mean, I know there was segregation, but I didn't realize, you know, even back in, like, was it the 60s, how bad it was in the South, you know, and that they had, like, a green book that you could only stay in certain areas. And and it had some really uplifting scenes because, like, I mean, I know I'm a pasty white guy or whatever, so I mean, I don't really understand it. But, I mean, but, like, when he, like, when the main character couldn't at the end couldn't eat at that restaurant, he just said, you know, fine, I'm not going to play. And they're like, what? And that obnoxious, like, maitre d', whatever, organizer guy was like, he's like trying to stop him. He's like, when the Boston Celtics, I mean, I thought that was a cool, like, screw you, man. Screw the man, you know. Yeah. I don't know. I just really liked it. And it was nice to see the main character kind of stop being a racist, you know.
Yeah.
That maybe people can change and there is hope for humanity, you know.
Yes,
like I said, as a pasty white guy, what can I say?
But, what can I say?
I mean, but, yeah. That was good. I thought, what's the main actor's guy name? The guy who played Aragorn?
Oh, Vito, or what is it?
Viggo Mortensen.
Viggo Mortensen.
I thought he did a great job.
He's I didn't recognize it was him at first.
Oh, really? Well, like, he gained so much weight.
He looked so much different.
Yeah, he put a lot. I assume he put that weight on for the role.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah. But,
I saw Glass. Have you seen Glass?
I haven't seen Glass.
Did we talk about Glass?
I don't think so. It's been that long since we did a podcast.
Probably.
Well, maybe we did.
I can't believe you didn't see it.
Christy didn't want to see it.
You're a huge Unbreakable fan, though.
I know. Christy didn't want to see it.
Huh.
She didn't think it looked good.
It was all right.
I heard, like...
It wasn't great.
It wasn't great. That's what everybody said. But I kind of want to see it. I want to see it just to see it, obviously. Right.
I mean, I liked it still. It was it was decent. I just wasn't...
Yeah.
Like, I really liked Split a lot.
Oh, see, I didn't love Split, but I liked it.
I thought... what's his name? Did a great
job. Oh, yeah. The main guy.
As far as acting.
Yeah.
But... Now, I don't know. It's a little overboard in Glass with the whole switching personalities and all that.
Yeah.
Like, it worked because, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It didn't work as good for me in Glass.
In Glass, yeah. I think it works, like, again, it might be better as its own thing rather than trying to mix it with other things.
So what have I seen? I've seen Glass. I've seen Escape Room. That was a fun, like, little
horror movie.
Horror movie.
Cool.
I saw The Prodigy. That's another horror movie.
Was that good?
That was actually pretty interesting.
That was the one about, it's like a, like an omen type thing, right?
No, not really. It's more like a reincarnation type thing, actually. So it's kind of like a child's play, but it's he kind of gets his soul put into this kid instead of a...
Okay.
And it's like this killer dude. It's pretty good. I mean, I just liked it because it was different.
Yeah.
So it kind of has a lot, some of these things from these type of, but I mean it.
Did you see that new movie that's coming out? It's called, like, Brightburn or something.
I haven't seen.
Have you seen the previous for that?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a, it's like if Superman, like, landed on Earth, but he turned out to be, like, evil. He's this kid who, like, he has these superpowers and is just, like, going crazy and, like, killing people and taking over the world.
That sounds cool.
I think it's I think it's written by James Gunn, maybe.
Oh yeah.
Or maybe he produced it or something. I thought he somehow
is. He's back on board for.
Guardians of the Galaxy 3?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. But he agreed to make Suicide Squad 2, so he's going to do that first, so it's not going to come out for, like, 5 years. Mm. But whatever.
Did you see Alita?
No, was that good?
Oh, man. I want to see
it. You liked it?
I loved it.
Oh, that's cool.
I loved Alita, man. I have to go see Alita again before I go see Captain Marvel again.
Cool. Yeah, it looked good.
I can't believe you didn't see it.
I thought about taking Zach, but I just never did it.
It's really good.
Cool.
I would highly recommend seeing Alita. I'll
try and check it out. Because it's probably one that's best in the theater as well.
I saw it 3D. The 3D
wasn't great.
I wouldn't worry about that. But yeah, I mean, it was fun. It was a good movie.
Yeah.
What else did I see? I saw They Shall Not Grow Old. It's a World War
I heard
World
about that.
World War I movie.
Had no interest.
Peter Jackson. It's like all cleaned up.
Wow. Isn't it like real footage though?
Yeah. Well, I like history stuff.
So it's like a documentary?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't sound interesting.
But the way that they did like the digital imaging, like they cleaned it up so much.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's interesting to me.
That's cool.
I'm a big history nerd, so.
Yeah.
I saw Green Book. We just talked about the Captain Marvel. That's it.
About it. Well, you've been busy.
I have been busy.
There have been a lot of horror movies for you to watch.
I don't know. Well, the thing is, like, I don't always want to pay full price to go see
like a B movie.
Right, like a little. Type. But now that I have this pass, it's like, I can go see whatever I want.
When I had the movie pass for a while, I was like, yeah, I'll just go see everything. Because anything I want to see, I'd rather see in a theater.
Yeah. Well, it's like, why not?
Well, exactly.
I have a couple hours and nothing to do, and it's not going to cost me anything.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Cool. Good deal. I saw a couple things that we rented, but I don't remember what they were. Oh, I did see, like, maybe we talked about it already. I saw Bohemian Rhapsody, and I saw...
I didn't see that. Was it good?
It was okay. It wasn't bad. It was interesting.
I've been watching The Umbrella Academy.
Oh, I need to watch that.
Netflix?
Yeah.
I'm only...
I haven't started yet.
Yeah, I'm only a few episodes in, but...
I'm super excited.
So, I hear it gets really good. I had a little trouble getting into it. Like, I watched the first...
Slow burn.
But it's getting pretty good now, so...
Cool. There's a new movie on Netflix that just came out a couple days ago with, like, Ben Affleck and Charles Hummel and Oscar Isaac. It's like a heist, like, military movie or something. Looks pretty good.
Not a big Ben Affleck fan.
I know, but it looks pretty decent. It's like an ensemble, okay?
He's not
holy crap, you sat through Batman versus Superman.
Not enjoyably.
Ben Affleck, he made some good movies there for a while.
Oh man,
he made Argo. I thought was good. You didn't like Argo?
Don't put our friendship at risk here.
You didn't like Argo?
Say something you don't mean.
Did you like Argo?
I don't know if I ever saw Argo.
Did you like?
I feel like maybe I did watch it, but
did you like Gone Girl? That was pretty good.
I can't think of one Ben Affleck movie I actually enjoyed really well.
Mallrats. No, Chasing Amy.
Okay, I did like Chasing Amy.
Okay, thank God. That was good. But yeah.
But not because of him.
Well, did you ever see The Town? That was good.
Yeah, I've seen The Town. It's all right.
I think he's a better director than he is an actor.
I think he should just go away and never play Batman again.
Well, yes, do not play Batman again. Well, he's not going to.
Thank God.
Just don't make me watch Daredevil. I'll poke my eyes out.
He should never play any superhero ever.
Correct. He's not built for that.
Ruins them.
All right. Well, I think that's maybe all we got.
I mean, I can keep talking about Ben Affleck.
I'm sure you can. I think we're going to have to agree to disagree.
I can tell you how
you still never answered. Did you like Argo?
I don't remember if I watched it.
Watch Argo. If you like history.
I don't know. Maybe I didn't watch
it. If you like history, watch Argo. It's very interesting. It's a cool story. Ben Affleck is in it. He's not obnoxious in it.
I've at least watched part of it.
It won the best picture.
I've at least watched part of it, because I remember,
it's got Alan Arkin in it. He's hilarious.
I think that movie was boring, if I remember
Argo.
Right.
It's pretty short. But,
maybe it's just because Ben Affleck was in it, and I just decided to take a nap instead.
All right. Watch The Town.
I've seen it.
Did you see Gone Baby Gone? He wasn't in that. He just directed it. He had his brother, Casey Affleck.
I've seen it, and I didn't care for it.
You didn't like Gone Baby Gone?
No.
Holy crap. Dude, what's wrong with you? All right, I'm going to find a good Ben Affleck movie that you're going to like.
Good luck.
Did you ever see the one where they dressed up as the Santa Clauses?
That was a pretty great
B movie. I think it has Charlize Theron in it.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that one.
That was pretty good. Reindeer Games, that's what it was. Gary...
It wasn't terrible. Sinise.
Gary Sinise was in it, too. Yeah. It wasn't terrible.
It wasn't terrible.
It was a fun kind of...
But would I want to go watch it again? No.
I didn't say you want to go watch it. I'm just saying it was a decent movie. Alright, whatevs.
He's not... No Ben Affleck movie will ever be in my rotation of, like...
I'm not saying...
Oh, I should go watch this
movie. What about Good Will Hunting?
Is he in that movie?
Yeah, he's a friend of Matt Damon. They do their Boston thing.
I was joking.
So, all right. Anyway, sounds good. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Shoot us some good movie duels if you want. You can think through the app, or you can like leave a comment or whatever. There's lots of ways to do it.
Like, share.
Yes, like and share.
tell your grandmother's friends
at grandmother's her, at her retirement podcast. Home. Yeah, we'll be like the podcast of the retirement homes.
Yeah, we barely even cussed this time.
Yeah, exactly.
We're almost kid-friendly.
Almost kid-friendly. Except for all the blood and gore that we talk about.
Fuck it.
Exactly. All right.
So I mean...
Thanks for listening.
Peace out.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.